Do you love comic books? Are you looking for a way to help out the Infamous Podcast? Then we have the thing for you. Go to infamouspodcast.com/comixology, click on the link, sign up for your free trial of Comixology Unlimited, and you'll help out the show. That's infamouspodcast.com/comixology. Hey, welcome to episode 124 of the Infamous Podcast. This is Brian.
This is Johnny.
And this week we're talking comic books. Lots and lots of comic books.
We are.
But not as many TV shows as we're going to talk next week.
Dear Lord.
Anyway, hey guys, this is our best of list. So every year we do our certified infamous list of the year. We talk about all the comics and comics, TV shows, movies that came out in 2017 that we enjoyed. And what we enjoyed best.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, but before we do that, last week we also we weren't able to talk about Infinity War, the trailer,
yeah,
because it came out the day after we recorded, unfortunately. How many times did you watch it?
3 or 4.
Yeah, me too.
I ended up watching it on the phone at work, and then watched it on the TV when I got home.
Yeah.
So.
So you enjoyed it slightly?
Yeah.
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 Well, our
I'd say so.
Our Coca Bros text thread kind of blew up when it came out.
Yeah.
Which was fun.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it. I thought it was cool because it told an actual story during the trailer. There was a first act, a second act, and then a third act, and then in traditional Marvel fashion, it had a little stinger at the end. So
when the Inhumans show up, it's like,
well, woo! Yeah, that was crazy. Yeah. It was when Black Bolt said done.
Yeah.
And then everything just.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I still haven't finished that series, by the way.
Dude, you don't even have to. It was so. Well, I mean, it's my number two for best of TV shows.
Oh, well, so, okay.
Spoilers.
Wow.
You saw my list. It's nowhere near that list.
There's a bunch of shit on your list.
So my list is like everything but that this year, it seems like. No, I'll pare it down before next week. But I thought the trailer was really good. I liked the voiceover from all the different from most of the different characters. Ant-Man was missing. Hawkeye was missing.
Hawkman's in this movie?
Yeah, he came through the multiverse to be part of Marvel now.
Nice.
He's like, look, DC, you're not doing anything
good with me.
Because they kind of
screwed him on Legends.
Well, on Legends in the comic, Anyway, he's like, you guys aren't doing anything good with me. I'm going to go over to Marvel.
We don't know what to do with this character, so let's just continuously kill him.
Yeah, over and over. I mean, they did the same thing with Hawkwoman, or Hawkgirl or whatever. Shaira.
Yeah.
But, no, I enjoyed the trailer. I think it looks great. The first time I watched it, I thought that when Cap was leading the army of Wakandans.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it looked like there were some Asgardians, like, mixed in there as well.
I don't know.
But I went back and watched it. Yeah. I didn't see anything.
I think the Asgardians will probably be prisoners.
So, yeah. So apparently one of the things that happened in the D23 trailer that I never watched because there was never like an HD version of it.
Right.
And I didn't really want to watch the bottom half of the trailer from some dude's phone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Thor like smacks into the Milano, the windshield of the Milano. But he had both eyes, apparently.
Well, right, yeah, because he didn't spoil that.
All right, spoiler alert. Thor's only got one eye. So moving forward, he's... You call him Patchy.
If you haven't seen Thor Ragnarok yet, spoiler alert.
Patchy, the god of thunder.
Yeah.
So he's no longer the Odin son. He's Patchy. But no, I thought that looked good. It's interesting to see Black Widow with the blonde hair.
Yeah.
Because there was a Black Widow with blonde hair.
Well, it's all they've gone underground.
Right. Well, there's that too. So I saw a lot of people
complain about things where it's like, did you see Civil War?
Well,
because it's like at this point, Cap's underground.
Yeah.
Widow's underground. Falcon's underground.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't see much of Falcon. I think he showed up there for like a second.
He flies.
But
he flies
down into the battle. I tell you what, though. I'm going to be honest. I was a little upset that he didn't have the nomad cape and the big pirate boots.
Oh, God. Jeez.
That's a deep cut.
Why
right
didn't you
there.
Just make him like 1776 Captain America?
Ooh,
at that point?
That would be cool too.
Jeez.
No, he looks awesome. Like with with the Winter Soldier.
Still his armor.
It's the Winter Soldier armor.
But he doesn't have the star on his chest.
Yeah. I think he does. It's just smaller.
Well, no, it's literally looks like he's just been living underground.
Yeah.
Well, that, so, you know.
The beard looks cool.
Get that man a shield.
I think Chris Evans likes having a beard, you know? Like, whenever...
Well,
like,
it's just like Chris Pine. Chris Pine likes having a beard, and I've said, since Star Trek takes place in a different timeline, why doesn't Captain Kirk have a beard, you know? It actually makes him look more, like...
Distinguished?
Mature.
Yeah.
Than when he shaved. He has a baby face. Like, they all have baby faces, but, like, Chris Pratt, maybe not, but, you know, that's Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt's mustache is what bothers me. Like, it's not the full beard. Like, it's more mustache than, like, beard right now. And it's like, oh.
Well, okay. in that trailer, he didn't really have it. He just was Star-Lord.
It's just because Guardians Volume
2. Teenage Groot looked cool, though.
Yeah, Teenage Groot looked really cool. Guardians Volume 2 hit Netflix last night.
Oh, okay.
So, I obviously watched it because, you know, I'm a Marvel fanboy. What can I say? All right, I want to talk about Thanos.
Yeah.
So, he was a deep purple. Now he's a light purple.
Okay.
I think part of it is lighting. Like, he's out in space.
Right.
He's on Earth. You know, there's atmosphere. I don't think what we saw in the trailer is the finished Thanos by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, and it looks like the Thanos, when I think it was Thanos Quest before Infinity.
Yeah.
Gauntlet came out. There was Thanos Quest, which was like a 2-issue prestige book. And he didn't wear the armor in part of that story. Mm-hmm. And this looks like that they're using that as, you know. Once he's earned the gems, he wears the armor.
Yeah.
And he's got 2 gems in the trailer.
Yep. Yeah, he has the 2.
And now they've said, like, you know, because every Marvel movie is of a genre, this movie is going to be a heist movie, is what they said.
Where Thanos is trying to steal
They're
all trying to steal from each other.
When everybody's like, where's the Soul Stone? And I'm like, you know what? Think about it. Think about what movie comes out right before Infinity War that's a Marvel movie and where the Soul Stone might be.
Hmm, makes sense.
Yeah, it would be in Wakanda. Weird. That's why
it's
there's
probably
an
powering
army
Wakanda. Yeah.
Attacking Wakanda.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's powering.
Yeah.
But I think it's part of their culture.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's been there for a long time.
Probably.
Yeah.
It's what makes Earth so
important. Well, and I'm curious to see, like, you know, the ether was in the collector's museum when it blew up. So where did the ether go?
Yeah.
You know, does the collector still have the ether? You know, nobody's really confirmed or denied where the ether is.
Yeah, I'm interested to see.
We know where the cube is.
Yeah, Loki has the cube. But I'll be interested to see, like, if we get to see the destruction of, like, the Nova Corps. Because they have the one from Guardians.
But I think we'll see something with the Nova Corps. That's why you're going to get the Guardians. Yeah. Because they're going to be, you know, looking for Thanos because he has that stone.
Okay, so do you think they show up early or do they show up near the end?
I think it's going to be it's going to be Empire Strikes Back, where you're going to have 3 stories going at once.
Okay.
So you're going to have Cap and Wakanda and the Wakandan Avengers.
Yeah.
You're going to have the New York Avengers.
Okay.
And you're going to have the Guardians of the Galaxy Thor story going on. Like
the Space Avengers led by Thor. The Revengers.
There you go. The Revengers.
Anyway, I love that line. All right. So I've spent way too much time on Facebook lately because I've had more free time than I want.
A dangerous pastime for sure.
Yeah. And there were all these people making comments about how they didn't think Thanos looked any better than Steppenwolf from Justice League 2.
You barely got to see Steppenwolf because he was in action most of the movie.
Right.
It's not like he was standing talking to a minion giving a soliloquy at any point. He was literally fighting the entire movie.
Right. But so when he did talk,
The
bottom half of his face is the only thing that moved because they didn't do the mocap of Vance Rader like they did with Josh Brolin. So the character looks like Josh Brolin, not, you know, face number 3 from the character picker in the CG. Now, I went last Saturday and saw Justice League for the second time finally.
Okay.
And I was thinking about this the whole time. And Steppenwolf, as a design, other than the things hanging off his chin, like, I'm not offended by it. I didn't think it looked horrible. I think, you know, just like I said before, like the DC third act, just garble of CG. just didn't perform well. It just wasn't executed right.
Okay.
But like, I didn't have as much of a problem with, I think, some of these other people. Like, yeah, his face wasn't, it wasn't Andy Serkis as Caesar or Andy Serkis as Gollum or, you know.
Andy Serkis as Snoke.
Yeah, Andy Serkis is like, but whatever, right? I mean, it wasn't all it's these, not, it wasn't the, even the Lupita as Maz Kanata, yeah, right? Yeah. Like, that was a completely non-human looking face that they emoted. You got to see her emote because it's
because
her face.
Well, yeah, because they did it right. They put the dots on her face and filmed her, you know, with, you know, the multi-film.
And so that's
thing.
Why I think Thanos, in my opinion, looks better because he looks real.
Yeah.
Right? I know you haven't finished The Inhumans, but everyone talks about how they thought Lockjaw was the best part about The Inhumans. I thought the CG on Lockjaw was horrible.
Well, yeah, you complained about that on the...
I mean, from the pilot.
Yeah.
But it didn't get any better.
Because they didn't spend the money on that show that they should have because they really didn't want to do that show.
No.
You can look
that's
at...
Ike Perlmutter. Like, you know,
literally could look at that show and say, yeah, this one was phoned in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, just like, from the first episode.
Well, and let's be honest, like the showrunner, the guy who did Iron Fist is the guy who did... Inhumans, and he's not the best storyteller in the world.
Yeah,
you know, he doesn't really know how to put together a proper structured show to last because he had 13 episodes with Iron Fist, and you could easily take out 7 to 8 episodes of that show to have a 5 to 6 episodes, 5 to 6 episodes season of Iron Fist. That would be
the Luke Cage problem that we talked about. Is, you know, those two could have been.
It should have been just one series for the two of them. But.
Well, they could have done Power Man and Iron Fist.
Right.
And
that's what they should have done is just introduce both of them. You do the first 4 episodes where you kind of intermix the two of them with their origin, and then you spend 2 episodes of them getting together, and then you tell the story.
Right.
But
right.
But no, I thought Thanos looked great. I loved the little monologue that we got, or the soliloquy, like you were saying.
From him.
He's like, you know, when it's taking over the galaxy, like, one, it shouldn't be about fun. But, you know, it reminded me a lot of Michael Ironside's Dark Side from Justice League Unlimited.
Yeah, that's a good comparison.
And there's the last episode where Darkseid's, you know, monologuing to Superman. And, you know, it's just one of these things. And then you have Superman come back and he's like, you know, talking about Batman, he's like, that guy's not gonna quit, none of my team will, you know, they'll fight, and he's like, I have a different problem, like, I walk around a world that's made out of cardboard, I always have to be careful. Like, that's one of my all-time favorite, like, moments in television and in any media history is that 2-minute scene. And the Avengers trailer invoked that, which I thought was a really, like, it added a lot of drama.
I don't understand, like, you know, people with the CG always want to complain, but it's like, it's not final product yet.
And you watch it on your phone.
I watched it on my phone and it looked excellent.
What's the Elva plan for your phone there? What is
it's
that? You have
phone.
A Windows phone. Yeah,
yeah,
but it's a 5-inch screen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know.
But it looked really good.
Yeah, I have a 5-inch screen on my iPhone. It looked great.
Yeah.
Like, when I watched it on my, you know, 40-inch TV, it looked great.
Right.
You know, when I see it on the 100-foot screen, it's going to look great.
Right.
But it's not done.
Last Jedi. It'll be on the front of Last Jedi.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm saying when it actually comes out.
Han Solo will be on the front of Last Jedi, too.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
I think it's about time, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you get your ticket yet?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
I have mine.
Oh, well.
Anywho.
I needed to see my schedule before I actually was able to buy
it. Free time. All right. So, yeah, we're both fans of what this trailer did. I think... Where, you know, some of these trailers over the last year for movies that we complain about not having done so well.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't tell us what the movie was about. You don't have to spoil the movie, but you still have to give us an idea.
Sure.
You know, so you get the idea. This is a big purple guy is coming to Earth. He's looking for his stuff, and he's bringing hell with him.
Yeah.
And then there's a bunch of people who were fighting from Earth who are going to be like, you know what, we're going to put our stuff aside. And we're going to protect the planet.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. Like I don't even need to know if it's going to be a heist movie where they're all trying to steal from each other or whatever, you know? I thought it did a great job.
So let me ask you this, since you're more of the Spider-Man fan than I am. What about that armor?
Well, it came out today saying it's not the Iron Spider armor.
It's like, the armor from the end of Homecoming.
Yeah.
Which was an armor.
Well, right, but they're saying it's not Iron Spider.
You know, I didn't think it was Iron Spider as in the... If it was Iron Spider, it would have been the red and...
It should have been.
Yeah, the red and gold.
If they were doing that. I think...
I don't see any extensions coming out of the back of that thing.
So Jeff and I were talking about this today.
Yeah.
Peter
Jeff
Parker...
Jeff of Queen City Comics
Yeah. Queen City Comics and Cards, Cincinnati, Ohio. QueenCityComics.com. All your comic needs. Free plug, Jeff. Not that you listen to this. You wouldn't even know how to download a podcast.
I bet he does. I bet he does.
We'll figure that out.
Yeah.
We'll let you guys know. Anyway, but he made an excellent point. Like, Spider-Man Peter Parker is at his best when he's mm-hmm. just a guy trying to go and make the world better in tights.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't need all the tech. He doesn't need to be Tony Stark Jr.
Right.
So I am not as adamant about that. I agree, you know, but I'm not militant about it. I think he needs to have that armor.
Well, it looks like he's the first one that's going to take on Thanos.
Yeah, I think he had the whole Spidey sense scene that was happening. So I think what's going to happen is he's going to, like, you know, start going and, you know, he's going to run into Tony and Hulk and
I don't think
Doctor
that's
Strange.
Even going to happen. I think he's going to be the first one that shows up on scene.
Well, so
and
how
he's
does he
get
the armor,
crap
though?
Knocked out of him? Because he's got it.
But he left it. At the end of Homecoming.
But you know what?
Maybe things
happen in between.
Yeah, well, so we'll see. That would be really interesting if he's like the vanguard, so to speak. You know, he's the first one through, and maybe he's just going to check it out. Like, he's not there to fight.
There's a giant floating thing in New York City. Hey, I'm going to defend my city.
Look at this donut onion ring looking thing.
When Daredevil shows up, that's when it'll be like, yes!
That was the other thing we talked about. I think Daredevil or Punisher have to show up in this movie.
Maybe.
And not even, like, be part of, like, the fight overall, but, like, we have to, like, see them.
Yeah.
You know? Like, ideally, I would love to see Charlie Cox.
They'll be
like,
the ones that get
in.
Erased.
Yeah.
When he gets that stone and erases half the universe.
Yeah.
They'll be there, and they'll be gone.
Did you watch S.H.I.E.L.D. yet?
No.
Okay. No. I'm not going to spoil anything for that. But,
I watched there was a 17-minute preview.
Yeah.
That was the first 17 minutes of that episode. They're in the future.
They are.
Yeah.
And it's the Kree.
Yeah, I know the Kree.
But you knew that.
Because Doug Tate, who I follow, is one of the Kree.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah.
He's
the long... If you don't know who Doug Tate is, he's a actor who does a lot of the makeup stuff. He did a lot of...
Yeah.
On... What was the show you watched?
Farscape.
No. With the guy... The Monsters. Damn it. I can't remember.
Monsters.
Not Sleepy Hollow. The other one. It was on NBC.
Oh, Grimm.
Grimm. He did a lot of those creatures.
Oh, cool.
He was the long-faced alien in the first Star Trek movie that's sitting at the bar. And he posted a picture of himself as a Kree.
Cool.
So it's like, okay, you know, cool.
It was great.
Yeah.
Like, I'm kind of
excited.
Well,
the 17 minutes was like, okay, cool. It's just, I haven't had time to
It's 2 hours, watch so it's kind of a long one. But it's Friday nights now, which it did really well in the ratings as we get into tangents. But, like, I'm interested to see how they're going to pull that in. Because I think they kind of have to at this point. Like, the
Coulson
Avengers
at
have
least
to
has
know.
To show up.
The Avengers have to find out that Coulson's alive.
Yeah.
And it has to happen before they all start going off to, you know, be recast and that kind of stuff. But, yeah.
They're not going to recast them.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know. I don't have a great job like that, and I like money. So I'm like, if I had a great job like that, and, you know, I still felt good about playing those characters, I'd do it until I was done.
You do it until you can't walk.
That's exactly right. If you got to create Super Soldier Serum to put into me, I'll keep playing Captain America.
You've got the walker with the tennis balls on
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Like, freeze, Sonny.
Yep. Cocoon.
Wilford Brimley.
Exactly.
Don't eat
Dude
that
Dude was
candy.
A lot younger than you think he was in that movie.
So, anyway.
Because he's still puttering around.
All right. So as far as trailers go, this one did its job 100%. Got me excited for the movie. Told me a little bit of a story and spurred a whole bunch of conversation about how is this going to affect the rest of the Marvel live action products.
Yeah.
So, hey, good
the
on
end.
You, Marvel. I think, though...
It'd be awesome if they just went at the end of the second one. The end.
The end.
This is it.
No, just Finn.
Yeah, exactly.
I think, though, what happens now is we don't see anything else about Avengers until March.
February. That's when Black Panther comes out. So you'll see something then.
So well, maybe at the beginning of Black Panther, but I think
you got your stingers at the end.
Well, I'm sorry. Yeah. So that's the next thing that we find out. And then like the next week you drop that second trailer.
Yeah.
You know, because I think some of these movies, they like, you know, like the Justice League, the movie, the first trailer for the Justice League came out a year and a half before the movie.
Yeah.
And then
of stuff happened in between there.
And then the next year they had the Comic-Con one that was this year come out, and everyone lost their collective SHIT.
Uh-huh.
But everyone's like, oh, this first Justice League trailer is great. It's like, that's the second Justice League trailer, and the first one wasn't that great. And this one kind of has me worried, and all this and that, and, you know, and Zack Snyder's the whole thing that happened, and he left, and now we're saddled with Joss Whedon, and, you know, yeah, it's. I think these movies need to really shorten the amount of time that they have their trailers publicity. and the publicity out there.
Especially if you're that type of movie where it's like, you know, you're not a movie, you're a part of a story.
Yeah,
and it's like the story just keeps building and building, and Black Panther is the next key in that story. And I like the thing I've seen posted by a lot of people where you could start with the first Marvel movie the first week of January and watch all the way up to...
Yeah, once a week.
But they left Black Panther out. And I'm like, well, you can't... You got to figure out how you do that.
So you start the last weekend in this week in December.
Yeah.
And you go through there.
Well, I mean, it's just the fact that the Black Panther movie will tie to that story.
Right.
Because, you know, the stinger is probably going to be Bucky coming out of that tube.
In...
With a new arm and, you know, a new purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've cleared out all the Hydra nonsense.
That's where the soul gem could come in.
Ooh, they cleaned his soul.
Yeah, exactly. I like it.
All right. Let's. That's enough about. We talked 21 minutes.
Oh, and next
about
week we
trailer.
Might be talking about the merger.
Oh yeah, if it happens.
Might happen next week is what they're saying. They're pounding out. They're pounding out the degrees of what's happening and if the X-Men will show up and
all right, here's what we
Avengers
do.
Infinity well, 2.
And here's what we do know. They're not going to buy the Fox Network because they legally are
I
not.
I wouldn't want
to
buy the Fox
but
Network.
But they're legally not allowed to buy
well,
it.
Well, sure. They have a
they
network
already.
They
already own a network and more than
FCC
company can't own,
regulations, blah, blah, blah.
So what the ideally what this is they're going to buy some of the cable properties like Nat Geo and things like that. But then they're going after the movie properties, the things that... you know, they the IP that they own, but they don't have the rights to distribute.
Well, if you think about, and you know, we can talk about this because this can be the top 10 or top fives fast. 20th Century Fox has the rights to X-Men and Fantastic Four, which is a cool idea for the Marvel universe. They also are the people who own the rights to Planet of the Apes.
Right.
So it's like Disney will have Planet of the Apes.
Well, in Alien and Predator.
Yeah, exactly.
So if they still have those rights, I'm not sure where those are.
They have Alien because we've had Alien Covenant was a 20th Century Fox release. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, interesting. I
like the idea that if they buy Nat Geo, we will get a Disney Nature Channel.
That'd be awesome.
You know.
So a lot of this is for the Disney streaming app, right? They want to have all this extra content. Now here's my thought is just real quick, and if they buy it,
yeah,
I think what they do is they have to rush the Fantastic Four into the MCU, not with a movie, but they have to fit them into the MCU somehow as quickly as possible.
I totally, like, you know, is Infinity War 2 totally done?
No, they're not. It's not even Infinity War 2. It's just Avengers 4.
Well, right.
It's just a one part story.
I totally can fit it in there. Literally, it's like, and every comic book fan is going to say it, but I've had it in my mind forever of how you get the Fantastic Four into the Marvel Universe, and it would be easy. It would be totally easy to do it.
Okay, because I have a real easy way, but I want to know your way.
They're just there. They've been there the whole time.
So there's no origin. There's no Doctor Doom. They just are there.
Well, Doctor Doom exists.
Well, he exists, but we don't start with
you
that,
you don't
right?
have to see Doctor Doom.
You don't now. Start with a standalone
No, because
Fantastic
the first
Four
thing
movie.
You do is you set up Secret Wars.
Yeah.
You set up a Secret Wars type movie where the Skrulls have been around because obviously the Skrulls are going to be in Captain Marvel.
Right.
The Skrulls have been around for years and been disguising themselves as people of power.
Right. The president, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
And I mean, you do it like you did Winter Soldier where, you know, you spin people on their heads.
Yeah. They just
because
are.
It's like, what? Yeah. Wait, what? And
Gary Shandling is from Hydra?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, exactly.
What? Whiskey. But yeah, no, I'm in perfect agreement.
But I don't think you need an origin again.
You don't launch a movie with them. You don't do an origin. They are just there, and you can have an excuse. They were off in space doing something because they're part of the cosmic, you know, thing. But so they're just there. Now, when it comes to X-Men, like in the comics, you know, they're all the Marvel Universe, but the X-Men kind of live in their own little corner, and everyone else lives in the rest of
the X-Men doesn't need to be in the Marvel Cinematic Universe,
right?
But they could do crossover.
Well, they can. And so, like, Hugh Jackman has said he wants to play Wolverine one more time if it's
fight the Hulk.
A Marvel movie, right?
He wants to fight the Hulk.
I kind of want to see that after Logan. I'm not going to lie. Great. Let him do that. Keep Daredevil the F out of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah?
To water him down to PG-13.
Oh, you mean a Daredevil movie?
Or not Daredevil. I'm sorry, Deadpool.
Oh, Deadpool.
Keep Deadpool out. Like, Deadpool, to water Deadpool down
that's
to a PG-13
what I'm saying. You just
with
do
MCU.
The X-Men right. universe yeah. as a separate entity.
Yeah, you keep
a separate
it all
entity,
on its own.
But you bring Fantastic Four in because nobody's done Fantastic Four good enough. They've done X-Men good enough.
Yeah.
That I'm not, you know, I know the X-Men. I'm not a major fan of the X-Men. But of all the X-Men franchise movies, Deadpool included, they have done a good enough job.
Absolutely.
That I'm like, they haven't ruined it.
And they follow the X-Men, like, thought process on continuity as far as it doesn't matter.
Well, yeah.
So, you know.
Well, you know, it's the whole you can change the universe anytime you want to. Yeah. And I mean, and that's the thing is, like, with the gauntlet, with the Infinity Gauntlet and those stones, if they keep them around in that universe, they can use them.
Yeah.
Time.
Yep.
You know, time can be controlled.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we saw, you know, Stephen Strange do it already with that gem. So, or stone. Are they gems or stones in the movies?
They're
stones
gems.
In the comics.
They're gems.
Are they gems?
Yeah, in the comics also.
Okay.
The Infinity Gems.
I don't know where I got stones from.
I don't know.
They're weird. All right.
The DC Universe.
Maybe, yeah. All right, so before we talk about our top five
Fifth
comics,
Element.
Fifth Element. The Fifth Element. There you
I
go.
Want the stones. I want the stones.
Four stones, four crates. No stones, no crates. I love when he kind of loses his shit there. All right, before we get to our comics, we have exciting news, which you heard at the top of the show.
Oh.
Anyway, so
it's not
a
stinger if it's at the top.
Whatever it is, the cold open.
Prologue.
Instead of the cold open this week, there's an ad. We are now in a deal with Comixology. So
in a deal. Did you have to give them your firstborn?
First, third, and eighth.
Oh.
So anyway,
I don't think Angel's gonna have that many kids.
Well, we're banking on you and Elva to pick up the slack.
That ain't happening at all.
Okay, so here's the deal. If you go to infamouspodcast.com/comixology, there is a link to go and sign up for a free trial of Comixology Unlimited.
Okay.
If you want to help the show, click that link, sign up for Comixology Unlimited. Simple as that.
Yeah.
All right. The other thing that's really cool now is if you're a fan of the show and you're still listening after 27 minutes of this, thank you because you're a fan, you can go to our show notes on theinfamouspodcast.com of whatever episode it is from this week forward, and the comics that Johnny and I get each week, we actually put in the show notes, and there will be links to those specific comics.
Or any comic we mention.
Well, or any comic we mention is absolutely right. But every week there's going to be at least, you know, 10 comics that have links to Comixology, and every time you guys buy one of those with the links that are from our website, it helps the show.
Okay.
So we're really excited about this. It's kind of a big deal. They haven't done it with a lot. Comixology hasn't done this with a lot of people yet.
Okay.
So we're kind of a guinea pig. So we're trying to grow the show. We're trying to help them grow. They're trying to help us grow. We're big fans. I mean, we've been linking to them for free for over 2 years now anyway. So, yeah.
All right.
Cool, right?
Yeah.
All right. So, the certified infamous books of 2017.
Comic books.
Comic books. All right.
How will that pounding on the table thing?
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure it's going to sound horrible. And they're going to be like, oh, God, why did he do that?
You're going to have to fill that in with a real drum roll.
I might, yeah. We'll see. All right. All right, do you want to start? You want me to start?
You can start.
Who talks first?
You
can't
start.
With the apparatus.
You can start.
All right. So in no particular order.
Yeah.
My first certified Infamous book.
In no particular order, but it's his first.
Well, the first one that I'm talking about.
First one on my list.
Is Reborn from Image Comics.
Yeah.
It's the Mark Millar, Greg Capullo book. And I gotta say,
do you know who I am, Capullo?
Dude, that was so funny. That's all I could think about when I was when I was putting this list together is when he did that at the expo. So Reborn is this really just interesting story about where you go after you die. It's kind of this whole thing of there's other planes of existence, there's magic, it's this whole fantasy ordeal, right?
Yeah.
And I don't want to spoil anything about it. Just the art is fantastic, the story is fantastic. Volume 1 is only 6 issues. Volume 2 comes out at some point next year in 2019. It's left open-ended for more.
Sure.
So much like Huck was on my list last year, this is very much in the vein of, you know, this very contained story.
Trying to get Mark Millar on the show.
No, you know, I didn't even think about that. But, like, hey, yeah, that would be awesome. But, like, you know, it's very much a contained story that in 6 issues really builds this very vibrant, rich universe.
Millar's
that you
good
care
at doing
about.
That. I mean, he's really good at doing that, you know, building a story really fast.
Yeah.
And that he doesn't have to take 6 issues just to start the story.
Right. Well,
that, you know,
that's
some
kind of
writers
the
should take a lesson from Mark Millar.
Oh, sorry. Did I say something?
Yeah. I don't know what you said.
I said Bendis.
Yeah.
Anyway,
aren't you looking forward to his DC universe?
I'm interested to see what happens with his DC universe. Absolutely. So, just real quick. So, the whole thing is there's this woman that we follow.
Mm-hmm.
And
I've read a couple issues.
Yeah,
of this,
so it's like what happens when she dies, and you know, once she goes and finds out there's this other place, she's reunited with her dad, and she's looking for her husband. So
he went to hell,
and yeah, but like time doesn't work the same way. The magic is cool. The story is cool. The going back and forth between reality, well, the one reality and the other reality is really cool.
Yeah.
So, Reborn is definitely, in my opinion, one of the 5 best comics that came out. Well, that came out during 2017 because the first 2 issues, I think, were 2016.
Oh, you just did 5?
The last 4. Yes, I only did 5. It's not like my gigantic TV list.
Yeah.
So, all right.
5 with how many honorable mentions?
I have 4 honorable mentions, and you have honorable mentions too. So
well,
don't
mine are
don't bust
mine
a sack.
Have a technical reason though. My first one,
and we have some overlap, so like we won't have to talk about this forever.
Yeah, the overlap. Here's where the overlap starts. Planet of the Apes, Green Lantern.
Yes,
from Boom and DC.
Yeah, written by Justin Jordan and Robbie Thompson.
Yep,
with art by Barnaby Bagnetta, Baginda.
I Baginda? Really enjoy watching.
I don't know.
So, Baginda.
Baginda. Now I read this because of you.
Yeah.
One, because you've got me hooked on these Planet of the Apes crossover comics.
Yeah.
Which are like the Tarzan.
They're the yeah, greatest thing in the universe.
So I'll let you go first because I just talked ad nauseum. So.
Oh, why I like it?
Yeah.
Just because it's Planet of the Apes and Green Lanterns.
But there's more to it than that.
It's a very interesting twist on the story. It starts right after the end of the Planet of the Apes movie. And you find out that...
Well, hold on. Planet of the Apes with Charlton Heston.
Yeah.
Just kind
of... Is there another Planet of the Apes movie?
Well, no, but it's... You know, we had War of... And people just call them Planet of the Apes at this point.
We refer anyway to the Mark Wahlberg movie as the Mark Wahlberg Planet of the Apes.
The Burton...
Tim Burton's
Wahlberg
Planet of the Apes.
Dumpster fire.
The original Planet of the Apes.
So.
The original Planet of the Apes movie. This starts pretty much right after that ended. Cornelius and Zira are digging around out in the Forbidden Zone.
Right.
As they were told not to do, but they're still doing it.
Specifically told not to.
Yeah, and Cornelius finds what looks like a ring.
A ring? Just a ring?
Just a ring. And the ring pretty much, like, kind of starts talking to him. And he puts it on.
Yeah.
And then all hell breaks loose.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think one of the...
And I don't want to spoil too much of this.
I don't
either.
Want to either. But here's one of the really cool things in this book. Because this is a 100% Elseworlds book when it comes to DC.
Yeah, yeah.
You have this cloaked figure who has St. Walker, Belize...
and a few other lanterns.
Yeah, I forget who the Green Lantern is. It was the one dude... Indigo Lantern.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name now.
Rook or something
Rook,
like that.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
There's an Orange Lantern in there, which was weird because I thought there was only... Well, it was one of Larvalee's constructs.
One of the ghosts, yeah.
Anyway, and they all have these gaping holes in their chest where their symbol was.
Right.
And, you know, this being turns out to be Sinestro.
Right.
Which, that doesn't spoil anything.
No.
But they're in the DC universe there. But then he makes his way from this ritual, makes his way through to the Planet of the Apes universe, multiverse.
With Hal Jordan.
With Hal fighting him the whole time, which was so cool.
Well, that's what, there's cool explanations. Like the Star Trek Planet of the Apes crossover had a good explanation of why they were able to cross over.
Yeah.
This one did it too.
I think this one even did a little bit better.
Well, and using the Guardians as the thing that sets up everything.
Yeah, the Guardians doing what the Guardians do.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, seeing characters from Planet of the Apes with lantern rings was cool. Gorilla Grodd showing up was...
The whole
I was literally like, at one point, I'm like, well, where's Kong Gorilla? So it's like, why don't we get Kong Gorilla in the story, too? Why couldn't we have just got every gorilla that was in the DC universe in the story?
That
would have
been interesting.
Yeah.
When Guy Gardner goes to Amanda Waller to get Grodd.
I'm just like, why?
And then John...
Why would you even do that?
And then I don't remember if it was John or Hal, but they're like,
John's not even in the story. It's Kilowog.
John's in the story.
I don't remember John being...
Yeah, John's with him. He goes to the planet with him. It's John, Kilowog, and Orisa.
It was Guy.
Guy, John, Kilowog, and Orisa all good.
I don't remember John being in the story at all.
I'll grab the books when we're done here. Yeah. But, and I forget which one. I think it's John. He's like, you know, she just tricked you into taking him to a different plane of existence to get him out
of her hair.
Oh,
that was Hal that said that to him.
Was it Hal?
When they got to the planet and... Hal's like, why did you bring
Gorilla
Grodd?
Right. No, you're right. No, I'm thinking of the other one. Yeah. John Stewart is not in this one. It's Guy and Kilowog and
Literally, Orisa. Hal's like, why did you bring Gorilla Grodd? Right.
So, and then Guy's like, oh, I fell for it.
Duh.
The art is amazing. Mm-hmm. It looks beautiful.
You only have the single issue.
I only have the single
issue. So I got the trade, too.
Yeah.
Because obviously I am what I am. In the trade, in the back, are all the covers.
Yeah.
Every single cover that they did, all the, what's his name? Felipe, I can't remember how his last name is pronounced. Felipe did covers that look like Alex Ross covers.
Right.
Plus, there's the movie and the comic book covers.
And then there's action figure covers.
And then the action figure covers.
Which I only got the Blue Lantern action figure cover because that's the one I really wanted. But now I'm going to go back and get the rest of them.
But, I mean, it's nice... For Boom, because I know Boom published a trade. Boom put every single cover in the back. So if you're a fan of the variants and you didn't get the variants, you at least are able to look at the variants in the trade paperback.
Yeah,
and you know it's just fun to see the adaptions of, you know, Green Lanterns of the Planet of the Apes type thing.
And it was such a cool story, and the resolution was so good, and you know there were the things about. You know, essentially this ring is a one ring kind of a thing. If you want to, you know, it's kind of, it doesn't control them all, but
it's the thing that John's has set up, you know, when he was doing Green Lantern that they've continued to do is that the Guardians were experimenting, you know, besides Manhunters, they were experimenting with any kind of thing they could do to control the universe pretty much. And if it didn't work, we just get rid of it.
Yeah.
We just hide it somewhere.
Yeah.
And the yeah, explanation,
just dump it in another dimension.
The explanation is so awesome that I'm like, yeah, that was cool.
In that poor lantern that they sent.
Oh, the one who got stuck on Earth.
Who got
on
stuck
that Earth.
On,
yeah.
Yeah. That was, it's like, way to go, Guardians, you jerks.
That's a story I would like to see if they do a sequel, like an
is
issue
her,
with her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because how did she fare without, you know? Yeah. All right. So our next crossover, let's just get the crossovers out of the way.
Oh, okay.
Star Wars Darth Vader.
Yeah.
The Tarl Soul. So this is volume 2. And Giuseppe. I don't even know how to say
Camuncoli,
that.
I would say.
Camuncoli. Okay.
Yeah, Camuncoli.
As much as I like the Colin Bunn volume 1, which I think might have been on my list last year, or at least in 2015 it was.
Was Colin Bunn the artist?
The writer.
The writer?
Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah. Of the first volume of Vader, with Vader down and everything.
I thought that was Jason Aaron wrote part of that.
He wrote part of it, yeah.
And then it was, it wasn't Colin Bunn. It was the guy who writes Aphra.
Oh, you're right. I was looking at something else. Never mind. You're right. Anyway, but
sorry, regardless. Can't remember your name right now, but yeah.
As much as I enjoyed the Jason Aaron run, like, I loved it, right?
Yeah.
This.
Wasn't it on your list? Like last year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this series picks up the second he steps off the table at the end of Revenge of the Sith. They even did the no.
They did it the way that if George Lucas wasn't doing it, it would have been done. Where he's like, no, no. And then he gets angrier and he's saying no like multiple times. And literally tears the room apart, throws Palpatine up against the wall.
Right, which is awesome.
Which I'm like, that should have been in that movie.
And when they make him look all disheveled.
Yeah.
Like, that was so cool. I mean, the art was so good there. So the first story arc is like, and like, I just got the new one today. I haven't read it yet. But the first 8 issues are out the first 9 issues are out as of recording this. I've only read the first 8 because 9 came out today. The whole first arc really is him finding out like what it's like to be a Sith and finding a red lightsaber.
Yeah.
And there's only one way to do it.
Yeah.
And it's to hunt down a Jedi, take their kyber crystal and bleed it.
Yep.
And
to show it your pain and your anger.
Yeah.
And make it part of you. Is pretty much the way that Palpatine explains it to him.
And that Jedi that they tracked down was so cool.
I want him as an action figure now.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, it's Hasbro.
Yeah.
Black Series.
He don't even have to be Black Series. He'd be 3 3/4 inch.
And yeah, doesn't
matter. Put him in a 2-pack with that Vader.
Oh, with him all battle damage.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
So this is what I loved, right? Is he goes out, he fights this guy, like, barely wins.
Yeah.
And then he goes back and he's like, the droids go to help him and he's like, no, I got this.
Yeah.
Because you forget he's an engineer, you know?
Well, it was the thing where he, you know, he goes to the planet because there's a ritual that, you know, Jedi go through where I guess if they use too much emotion, they have to purge. And the Kolinar of the Jedi, Jedi ranks. And this guy is one of the last survivors because he's out there. Because
he's been
on a planet
too,
at a temple, at a Jedi temple. And he's got a robot with him that's obviously worked with Jedi throughout the years. And when Vader comes and, you know, he's the Jedi tells him, like, he's like, doesn't even know he's a Sith. He just keeps calling him Monster, which I think is the best part. He tells him, you meet me at the top of the hill.
Yeah.
If you make it, I'll take you out.
Right.
I'll finish the job that should have been finished because you killed all my friends.
Right.
And when he gets to the top of the hill and the robot at one point defends him and Vader just throws him off the mountain.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like he, you know, then the Jedi gets the upper hand, throws Vader off the mountain. And it's like, you're like, oh,
so
okay.
That last page, I think it's issue 2.
Yeah.
Is when that happens. That last page. And that last panel of him just kind of broken on the ground is so stinking cool. Like the leathers are all ripped up. You see you see
some of his leg
robot parts and
you see some of his human parts.
Yeah.
But it was cool because
you see that mesh.
Him using the robot that was, you know, the Jedi Defender, the rebuild himself as best he can at that point is like, you're like, okay, this makes Vader look like a badass.
But then doing it with the Force.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like he sat there with the screwdriver and a
Well, at one point, he has to force a part on physically into his leg.
Yeah.
And he lets out a scream. And you're like, okay, that was cool.
Like,
this it's like is, he's still like, you know, Anakin.
This,
at this
is
point.
The Anakin that we had in the Clone Wars, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is not Hayden Christensen's version of Anakin
right.
Skywalker. The, or
George Lucas's version.
Yeah,
we
George
don't blame
Lucas
it on Hayden.
No, I don't. But like, you know, I mean, he's the one that's recognizable because it's his face, body, mouth, voice.
You know,
eyes.
Why don't we blame Natalie Portman too?
Oh, I blame Natalie Portman for lots of stuff with Star Wars. You know, I blame her with lots of stuff for being Thor.
Are you an angel?
No, she's horrible, dude.
I don't think she's horrible, but like, I think that they got roped into a bad situation.
Yeah.
And they're decent actors that got roped into a bad situation.
She's
same with Sam and same with Ewan and
so
same with
the two of them are actors.
Puppet Yoda.
They need a good director.
Yeah.
Right? If they don't have a good director, they're not good actors.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. You know?
I mean, and I don't know if it like, you know,
Ewan can make
we're
bad
getting
dialogue.
On a, we're
work.
Getting on a tangent,
anyway,
but
well, we do that.
You know,
we
if you ever find
the
TV
podcast.
Series Higher Ground that Hayden was on, they got canceled because of Star Wars.
It was a Canadian show.
It was a Canadian show, but if you ever like, if it's ever on a streaming network, watch it because it's some
I
of the best.
I think they're on
Hayden.
YouTube. Yeah,
yeah.
Life is a House. He was amazing.
Oh, yeah,
in it.
Yeah.
I like him in Takers.
Yeah,
you know.
But
he
I mean,
was Takers
really
good
is post Star Wars, whereas Life is a House and
Life is a House. When I saw Life is a House, and then I heard he was cast as Anakin, I was like, oh, sweet, they got an awesome actor to play Anakin.
And I had been watching Higher Ground, and I was like, when they said that, you know, he was going to that, I'm like, oh, okay.
The
thing with Vader, the art fits the story.
It does.
And it's one of those things where now they've introduced the Inquisitors in this current storyline, and all the Inquisitors that we've seen on Rebels are there,
and
plus some other ones. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, this is cool now. Let's see more with the Inquisitors.
One of the Inquisitors, because there's two in the Ahsoka book.
Yeah.
One of those Inquisitors is the one from the Ahsoka book.
Okay.
So, it'll be interesting
from the
to
novel,
see. From the novel, which is canon.
Yeah, well, everything is so, at this point. So,
but
it's cool to see why the Grand Inquisitor became an Inquisitor.
Well, my favorite, I think it was in issue 8. It might have been issue 7 where he's cutting off the Inquisitor's arms as they fight.
Oh, the one train. Where Vader's training all these Inquisitors and he teaches a lesson by cutting an arm off, and it's like, Vader. At one point, the Emperor, I love it because it's like, you know, you see Vader kill people throughout. And the Emperor's like, you're not going to leave anybody around for me to rule over. It's like, slow it down a little bit.
Calm down. But I do like how the Inquisitor's like, well, why are you doing this? And he's like, you know, you guys all, you're all former Jedi.
Yeah, you were all Jedi.
You fight, like, you fight without fighting. You only strike when it's the last resort.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to go out and find and defeat the other Jedi.
Right.
If you keep acting like this. And in the way they drew the Inquisitor's face, right?
Yeah.
The Grand Inquisitor. It's like, oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Like he's being taught as he's.
And, you know, he was one of the Temple Guards.
Right.
He's been a Jedi much longer than Anakin was a Jedi. And certainly much longer than Anakin's been a Sith. But you really get the badassness of Vader from the get-go.
He destroys an entire city in an issue.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, it's like, okay.
They did such a good job of showing him, like, getting comfortable in the initial armor that was built for him.
Yeah.
And then realizing, wait a second, I need to customize
this
and mod
this
stuff out.
This is going to be my armor. Yeah.
Like, this is me now.
Well, and I like the idea that they send him the Mustafar, and it's the area where you see him in the temple in Rogue One, and it's like, cool. It's like cool little nod of the hat, you know?
Just
and they built that thing fast.
I'm sure we'll see Krennic in here at some point.
Probably. Oh, you'll see all of it at some point.
So, all right. So
Thrawn.
What's your what?
Thrawn will show up at some point.
Well, they're doing the Thrawn comic and then
Vader's in that.
In the Thrawn book.
Yeah.
Thrawn met Anakin.
Right.
So, I want to see that as a comic.
Well, that'd be cool.
So, all right. So what's your next one?
My next one is Predator Hunters, which was a miniseries.
Which was from Dark Horse.
Yeah, and it's Chris Warner is the writer, and Francisco Ruiz Velasco is the artist.
And those books looked beautiful.
Dude, it's... And I, that's another, we're not spoiling any of these. There's a twist in this book that makes you go, wow, this just got really better. Now, the cool thing
is... I only got the first issue. I didn't get anything after that, so... You'll have to tell me.
We did the covers. We did the Predator covers, and I picked one from back in the 90s called Big Game.
Right.
The character that was in Big Game, Enoch Nakai, is in this story.
Oh, nice.
They bring him back. He's older. They actually make it where it's like, you know, he's an older man now. And they use him in the story. And it's like they mention stuff that's happened in other Predator comics over the years. And I'm like, that was the cool part of it. Those are the first few issues.
But
the twist, like third, fourth issue, just makes the story awesome.
All right.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And the art in it is beautiful because there's Predators that have made masks out of wood.
Yeah.
So the wood actually looks like it is like layered.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's a cool idea.
Like, yeah, like I said, I got the first issue, and then I always leaf through it, like, just to kind of look at it.
This is one where I'd say, like, you know, go on Comixology, get the trade.
This is a trade. Like, all of these, the trade, we're going to link to, at the very least, the trades to all of these. So, yeah.
What's your next one?
My next one is one that's not, it's a miniseries, it's not done yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's from DC Comics, which is the first standalone DC book of the bunch. It's Nightwing, the New Order.
Okay.
And I was telling you before we got started, this is written by Kyle Higgins,
mm-hmm.
who really understands Nightwing. He did the first batch of the New 52.
Oh, okay.
And he really, I mean, he's a great.
Is this the one where Nightwing is kind of a bad guy? Or?
Yeah, I'll get to it. But the interesting thing is the art in this one is Trevor McCartney. And Trevor McCartney did, art on the Chuck Dixon run forever ago. And got run off the book by the fans because his art was so horrible. It just didn't fit the character.
I don't remember.
Every character was like Gumby. They were like overly stretched and like, like Dick didn't have like a pointed nose. It was like completely round.
Huh.
It was cartoonish and just didn't fit the tone and didn't fit Bloodhaven. But so in this book, the New Order, what has happened is years ago, Dick finally decided that the problem with the world was metahumans.
Okay.
And essentially worked and created an organization and a quote-unquote cure for the metagene.
Okay.
And there was this huge battle in Metropolis. Like, millions of people were dying and you know, it was a battle good versus evil.
Yeah.
And so Dick just let the thing go.
Oh, okay.
And in one moment eliminated 90% of the superpowered people on the planet.
Okay.
Like, didn't kill them, but like took their powers away.
Yeah.
Now, there's certain people whose powers can't be taken away, so his group
Superman.
Puts them in... Well, so Superman hasn't shown up.
Right.
Batman's dead.
Okay.
Which is part of the reason why he did all this. So he puts them all into...
So is this under an Elseworlds?
Yeah, this is an Elseworlds. Yeah.
I mean, do they
it's
actually
put it on
there?
It's not called Elseworlds, but it's 100% Elseworlds.
Yeah, that's the problem I have with DC is they don't use that Elseworlds thing anymore.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's where you put it on there.
Yep, and this is a 100% Elseworlds book.
Yeah.
So he has a son, Jake. You know, he works... So he's the global face of this, like, institution. And then,
him as Nightwing.
No, him
Dick
as Dick Grayson.
Grayson. Okay.
Now everyone knows he was Nightwing, and like, you know, the Batcave is now a museum.
Oh, okay.
Kind of a thing. So like, you know, everything's very transparent, and I don't want to spoil too much, but
sure.
He has a son. His name is Jake, and it's no secret he had a son with Corey with Starfire.
Okay.
The son develops powers.
Ah.
And so then it's about, well, how is he going to
react
to this?
What do I do? Yeah.
You know, Jon Stewart shows up in this. The Titans, versions of the Titans show up. The version of Beast Boy that shows up is kind of heartbreaking.
Okay.
And I don't want to spoil
why. Is it
a
miniseries?
It's a miniseries.
Okay.
Issue 5 came out recently.
Okay.
I think it's only 6 issues long. It's a real easy read.
Sure.
It's really fun. You see him kind of battling with this decision that he made. There's some great stuff with Alfred.
Alfred's
still around.
Because
Alfred's the one who's essentially raising Jake while Dick is off you know, hunting down Metas. But yeah, it's really good. Kyle really has a really interesting perspective on Dick Grayson.
Sure.
that we haven't seen since Chuck Dixon.
Okay.
I think when you see a lot of other writers like take on the Dick Grayson character,
right?
Sometimes he's like overly flirtatious. Sometimes he's this, he's that, but he's not,
right?
He's not like fun. And like this Dick Grayson is not fun, but like this is the years of living with and partnered with Batman.
Right.
And have really wore him down.
Right.
So.
Okay.
Anyway. Yeah. All right. What's your next?
My next one is the Marvel Legacy one shot
mm-hmm.
that was written by Jason Aaron. The main artists on it were Esad Ribic and Steve McNiven.
Yep.
We talked about this.
We did. We talked about it. There was a great scene with Wolverine at the end.
If you can find the episode, just put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
And that, and you know, pretty much just a fun one issue, one shot story.
Yeah.
That was all over the universe. And like I said, we talked about it a few episodes back.
Well, and the problem with it is though, is we haven't had a follow up to it yet.
Yeah.
None of the legacy stuff has kicked off. It's like they did the opposite of what they've done with all their big event series lately, is where the stuff went way too long and then like the new stuff was kicking off where
I think that honestly with Secret Empire being so controversial that it was like, you know, it just took
They're like, just put it out.
Yeah, just get this out. People like it. Yeah. And I like it.
And I liked it too. It didn't make my list. It was kind of, to me it was a little forgettable.
Yeah.
But
see, and I felt the opposite because it's the only Marvel book where I'm like, I really enjoyed that Marvel book this year, besides, you know, Star Wars books. But, you know, the only Marvel mainstream book that I can say that I enjoyed it enough that I remember it.
Yeah.
And you know, I'd like to see the 10,000 BC Avengers have a miniseries.
That would be awesome. So that was the best part of that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd like to see some more of that where they do the way back stuff. All right. So then my last one is a cross. Did you uncross off that?
Yeah, you can do it.
Okay.
I'll leave it off.
All right. So my last one, Johnny had it on his list, but he crossed it off, is Invincible.
Just because I got up to like 9. And
yeah.
I was like, no, too many. Too many.
So,
which I'm in agreement with you on this one, obviously.
It's a book we talk about. There's only two issues. There's two issues left, which is sad.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's awesome because it's going out on such a high note.
Is that last issue going to be a double?
I don't know, because the Robot War was a one-shot double issue. And really,
at this point, the last few should be double shots.
So the I loved how Ryan Ottley ended the book with what he spoiled on his Instagram account. Like, that was just amazing. Go to his Instagram account to find it.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ottley's art has never looked better. You know, you can tell he's excited to be moving on to another project because he's really putting it all. He's leaving it all on the page.
Well, sure, yeah.
You know, Kirkman
just has the right amount of blood. Just a pinch here and a pinch there and
some
a
blood
splatter
here,
there and
a splatter
a full
of
page here.
An eyeball here, some brain there.
So it definitely, like, the book on a whole is like one that I highly recommend to people if you like superhero stuff.
Even if you don't like superhero stuff
and you don't
want
to get caught in the DC Marvel like tantrums.
So the drama that's been in this book for the last year, there's a couple characters who die.
Mm-hmm.
The drama's really good.
Yeah.
The whole thing, so we got to see a glimpse of the future.
Uh-huh.
Way back in Invincible.
Yeah, I don't
like
even
right when he first started.
It
was like in the 40s.
Yeah.
You know, it was within the first 5 years of the book. So we got to see all that. And then we got to see how that future is not going to come to fruition in the way that it did there.
It's all
like Mike kind of Mark learned his lesson.
Yeah.
But the whole thing that went down with Robot is why I put this as one of my top five.
Yeah.
The end of that book is great. Seeing Mark finally grow and learn and do what's best for everyone,
not just what he
thinks is right,
right,
is a real like way he's matured. I think, you know, it's been sad. It's been cool. I'm interested to see what happens as the result. Like, they finally paid off the result of his rape when he was raped.
Yeah,
in issue 91. You know, here we are 40 issues later.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just been, if a book has to end, this is the way you do it.
Yeah.
So I imagine when this one ends in a couple months, especially after what happened in this week's Walking Dead, we're going to hear we're doing 13 issues to end Walking Dead.
Oh, really?
I really do. I think the way he's doing this,
yeah.
I feel like he's cleaning house to come out with something new.
Well, he's got something new coming out next year.
Right.
So, you know.
So anyway. There was an issue here not too long ago. It was, I think it was the October issue, where it was real dusty in my house while I was reading it.
Oh, yeah.
So, which you have no soul, sir. You have no soul. Yeah. Anyway. All right. So what's your...
My final one of the top five,
yeah,
is Star Trek Boldly Go.
Yeah.
Written by Mike Johnson. Tony Chastain did the first six, seven
He did the
issues.
First volume.
Yeah. And then it's been a rotating...
Yeah.
Which is fine, because it's a book where I think they need rotating artists.
His art, though, in those first few issues is amazing.
Well, he's done other books in that. So just an enjoyable book if you're a Star Trek fan. Continuing adventures of the Kelvin universe, Captain Kirk and crew.
This takes place directly after Star Trek Beyond. Yeah, this was on my list, and I took it off.
When it's fun because the Enterprise is still being built.
Yep.
So it's like, yeah, even though we've seen the Enterprise completely built at the end of Beyond, this is the story that's taking place in between.
It's during that time lapse.
Yeah, and it's cool what they're doing, like the storylines they're doing, because some of them are referencing back to old Star Trek mm-hmm. episodes, and then the current storyline where the multiverse is getting involved, Star Trek multiverse, is a cool thing.
I like the way they've spread them out, the crew.
Yeah, they're not all together right now.
I like that they gave Kirk another ship to be the captain of.
Yeah, just well, interim, you know,
as an interim captain.
What are you gonna do, sit around in office all day?
His first officer on the Endeavor,
the first officer
yeah. was great.
Yeah.
And that storyline was so cool.
And I don't think that storyline's done
yet. And that is so far from being over. So, all right.
I'm looking forward to the idea that maybe Q will show up again. Because Q was in the first Star Trek series that involved the Kelvin timeline. I kind of want to see them jump to their future.
Yeah.
And see a Kelvin Picard, Kelvin Sisko maybe.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen that in the Q, but the Q version was, you know, an altered timeline where the Enterprise had disappeared.
Right.
But I'd like to see if there's any major differences, because I mean, I don't think we're going to get another Star Trek movie unless the Quentin Tarantino thing happens, and then what the hell is going to happen there?
I don't think that'll be in the Kelvin timeline though.
Yeah. I don't know. But this is a way to enjoy the Kelvin timeline if you enjoy it.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Cool. All right. Real quick, we'll just bust through our honorable mentions.
Just do all yours.
Just do all mine?
Yeah, do them all.
Okay.
I know the reason why. Reason why they're honorable mentions.
All right. So my first honorable mention is Journey to Star Wars, The Last Jedi, Captain Phasma, which was written by Kelly Thompson with art by Marco Cicchito. Okay. I don't know. Why
you should practice those names?
Because that's no fun. Because part of the fun is me butchering these people's names.
Welcome to the Infamous Podcast Drinking Game, where every time there's a name that Brian can't pronounce, you take a shot.
Hey, anything gets people to listen more.
Every time I quit, you drink the whole bottle.
You haven't quit in like 10 episodes.
I quit.
All right. One. This ties in.
I'm just using up all my I quits at my regular job, so it's like.
This ties in directly to the end of The Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
It answers a question that everyone has about how is she going to get back to the First Order, or how does she get off Starkiller Base? How does she not get into trouble for putting the shield down?
Right.
It ties in really well with the Phasma book, with the way the character is personalized. Okay. My next one is Super Sons by Peter J. Tomasi with art by Allison Borges and Jorge Jimenez. This is on my list because I freaking love Damian Wayne and Jonathan Clark as a group together. They are.
Is that what they go by? Clark now?
No, they're Wayne.
Jonathan Kent?
They're Kent. Yeah. Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah. No. you know, there, so there was that. I really enjoy the book. Mm-hmm. I like Damien trying to get Jonathan to break some rules.
Okay.
I like Jonathan learning his powers with kind of Damien's influence, not just Clark's.
That's cool.
Which is really interesting. And I love Peter J. Tomasi. So,
well, sure. Right. Yeah.
My third one is Star Trek Green Lanterns Volume 2 Stranger Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Which is Mike Johnson and Angel Hernandez. This almost made my top five.
Okay.
Because I really enjoyed Volume 1 of this.
Mm-hmm.
Volume 2 is awesome. You get Kirk gets a ring, which is pretty cool. You meet the Guardians from the Kelvin timeline, which okay. is really cool. And Khan,
which did Cumberbatch,
dude, yeah. it's so awesome the way they do it. It actually makes.
Have you read the current issues of Boldly Go?
No, I'm four issues behind. All right, and then my last one is Star Trek The Next Generation. There's lots of Star Trek on these. IDW knocked it out of the park this year with Star Trek. All right, my last one is Star Trek The Next Generation, Mirror Broken, issue 5, just came out the week that we record this. This is by David and Scott Tipton with J.K. Woodward. And I love everything about the Mirror Universe.
This version of the Mirror Universe.
I love Picard. Wesley is actually interesting.
And I haven't read it. I'm saving it to read all at once.
I like Riker. Data with the
Borg stuff. Yeah.
And then now, and there's freaking Reg Barkley.
There's a loot crate issue that tells Data's origin.
Right.
From the Mirror Universe.
Which I'll track it down. I'm going to have to hunt that whenever thing down. It comes out. Yeah, if you find it and you find a second one, just grab it for me.
Sure.
But yeah, so those are my honorable mentions. So just as a quick little recap for my books, and I'll let you get to yours. Reborn from my top five are in no particular order. Reborn from Image, Planet of the Apes, Green Lantern from Boom and DC together, Star Wars Darth Vader from Marvel, Nightwing the New Order from DC, and Invincible from Image.
Mm-hmm.
And then my honorable mentions are Journey to Star Wars, The Last Jedi, Captain Phasma, which is Marvel, Super Sons from DC, Star Trek The Next Generation Volume 2, IDW, DC, and then Star Trek The Next Generation Mirror Broken from IDW. I will say, I have pared back on what I'm getting from Marvel this year.
Yeah.
I dropped a bunch of books that just I wasn't even reading. I was just getting them together. Right.
Yeah.
I've been reading a lot more IDW. There's, you know, Transformers Lost Light almost ended up on this list.
Okay.
The Optimus Prime book almost ended up on this list. You know,
it's been a lot of the
I think IDW and Image have really stepped
things like
up.
DC. I'm just getting the Green Lanterns and the Flash.
Yeah.
And I'm not even reading them. And we've had that discussion.
I mean, I get Batman and Detective and Nightwing. And I haven't read.
I've been picking up Nightwing. I'm double digit
issues behind on all three of those.
Yeah. They're probably going to get dropped this year.
Yeah.
You know, financially and just because if you're not reading it, why are you buying it?
I think I don't want to support things I'm not going to read.
Right.
You know, like I was getting Guardians of the Galaxy after Bendis left.
Right.
And like, I didn't like the first two issues. And it's like, why? Why would I get this? So I dropped it. And it's getting canceled with issue 150 anyway. So
you helped that.
Good.
Oh, so honorable mentions.
Crappy books, yeah.
I only have two.
Yeah.
And the only reason they're on here is because only the first issue's out. So, and just another Planet of the Apes crossover. Mm-hmm. Kong on the Planet of the Apes.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome story.
It was.
Kind of like, felt like Apocalypse Now type feeling to it. And I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes. Ryan Ferrer is writing it, and Carlos Mengo is the artist.
Cool.
And it's just worth checking out the first issue to see if you want to go with it.
Right.
And the other one is a book from Image called Port of Earth, and it's written by Zach Kaplan, and Andrea Muti is the artist.
Okay.
And it was just a really interesting read. It's kind of like when I first read Manifest Destiny type.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's about aliens coming to Earth and pretty much being businessmen and making a deal with Earth to have a port here,
okay,
where people can refuel,
like Men in Black.
No, not at all. Well, because nothing's secret.
Yeah,
it's all on the up and up. Yeah, it's all on the up and up. But things start going wrong.
Well, anytime you get a port,
and it's
anywhere,
cool because it's the story is being told from the point of view of. We're seeing it in a flashback kind of thing, but it's from, you know that something bad happens because of the way the story is being told.
Okay.
And at cool looking art, cool looking aliens so far. And in the back of the book, they give you like references to a bunch of the alien races because literally they're just stopping here and refueling because they use water as fuel.
Okay.
And what does Earth have a lot of? Water.
70%.
Yeah. Yeah. So
plus all of our bodies.
It's one where I look forward to reading it.
Okay.
And it's, you know, one that like with Manifest Destiny, I hope I don't fall behind.
Yeah, I'm way behind. Yeah. I realize there's like two more volumes that are already out.
Yeah.
That I haven't read. So
Sasquatch, I have the trade. And it's one of that's a book, and you know, that's a conversation for another time, really. But that's a book where I like buying the trades and the single issues.
Okay.
For some reason.
Yeah. I do that. There's books.
There's some books that I think deserve that.
All right. Cool. On that note, infamouspodcast.com/comiXology. If you want to help the show, we appreciate it greatly. Obviously, we still have the Patreon page. Depending on what happens with comiXology, I might take the Patreon page down.
Oh, okay.
But if you do want to support us, those are the two best ways to do it. Other than if you have a friend who's into superhero stuff or in comics and pop culture like you are and they don't listen to us, ask them to see their phone and subscribe on their phone for us. That would be awesome.
Yeah. Okay.
So, all right, guys. We will be back next week with the Certified Infamous Best of 2017 TV shows.
Yes.
And I've got some work to do to whittle my list down because Johnny says it's too long.
Well, I just like the idea of sticking to five or six.
Yeah.
I think six.
Well, normally you come in with like 10 and I'm like, I only had four.
It's been a busy year this year.
It has.
Yeah.
But anyway, and then we will do movies the week after that. And then we'll close out the year with what we're looking forward to in 2018.
Which I need to do homework on that because I don't.
Yeah, I gave you a lot of homework this month. I apologize. Yeah.
That's the one, like the movies and TV I could just rattle off. Like right now, I could rattle them off. I don't know what else happened in 2018.
Yeah.
There's a Star Wars movie coming out.
And
there's an Avengers movie coming out.
I don't know
out.
What I'm looking forward to in 2018 yet, at all. So anyway. All right, guys. On that note, we will see you next Friday.
Have a good one.
Bye.
The Infamous Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Friday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. This show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. Those amazing banners that go with our show notes, those are designed by Johnny, and the show is mixed and engineered by me. Our intro music is Moose from bensounds.com. You can find more information about the show online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Infamous Podcast to stay up to date on the latest news about the show and find out what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and what we're looking for is help to grow the show to keep bringing you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @JohnnyPodorf, and I'm on most social networks as @BrianTudor. So whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Later.